You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I'm answering a question from Jonathan in Ohio. And I don't know if you all remember, but I actually read his email a while back about how CCPT changed his life and his parenting and his son. And so same Jonathan from Ohio, and Jonathan has now joined the collective. So it's been really great to communicate and collaborate with him in different capacities. So his question today is about how CCPT is preventative in nature, and how do we explain to people that what children learn as part of the CCPT process serves them forever, because obviously sometimes what's going on in the child's world is pretty dire and pretty devastating. And sometimes it's difficult to see any way out of that for kids. And so his question is around that. So I'll read parts of his email and then we'll dive into that. So he says, as I'm finishing grad school, my brain is regularly drawn to applying CCPT to things like substance abuse and addiction. Specifically, how does CCPT prevent future problems? There are counselors at my site who make comments like, that kid already has a prison number tattooed on his forehead, which breaks my heart and mine and frustrates me. I once heard a counselor tell a parent to try to motivate them to change. I am the only counselor who will see children under 12 at my site. I want to be the best child-centered play therapist that I can be. My question is, could you spend some time playing the movie of how CCPT is preventative in nature? What are some of the ways in which we can show parents that CCPT is not just a quick fix, but a lasting treatment that has long-term effects and prevents future problems, such as substance abuse, domestic violence, and mental health issues, such as anxiety and depression? All right, Jonathan, thanks for so much for the email. And I think this is really helpful. We often are fighting an uphill battle. I've been talking about that a lot in some of the discovery calls lately and some of the coaching calls. We are always swimming upstream, fighting an uphill battle, because everything about society is quick fix mentality. So not only is it, quote, fix my kid, meaning parents do not understand their role and their responsibility in the health and wellness of their family, but then it's also, what can we do that will just take care of this problem right now? And CCPT is constructed differently. It's structured differently. It just has a totally different approach. And we need to be able to effectively communicate that to parents and even to other stakeholders, because often schools are putting lots of pressure for a quick fix. Pediatricians are putting lots of pressure for a quick fix, or they'll diagnose and medicate. So there's always this expectation that we have to combat. So my thoughts are, first and foremost, let's make it very clear that CCPT has been proven. We can look at data and research. Longitudinally, it preserves the gains that children make. In other words, they've done follow-up studies for children years after they completed CCPT, and there was evidence of longitudinal positive outcomes. So the things that they learn, the skills that they figure out, and what they acquire as they're going through CCPT, it serves them for the rest of their lives. And are there immediate is relative, I realize. Are there in the moment changes that we observe? And as they go through the process, are we in real time seeing growth and healing and change? Of course. But that also extends long-term, because we've seen longitudinal studies confirming that. So I think we just need to know that. We need to understand that what we're doing and what children are learning in the process will serve them forever. And related aside, I have been thinking about this a lot lately, because I've been sharing with a lot of people, it's really rare for a play therapist to have an existential crisis about their value and worth and purpose in the world. If you work with kids and you are a play therapist, you see the change that comes out of the work that you're doing. You understand your purpose. You know that you're serving people. You know that the world is different because you are serving in the capacity in the playroom as a child-centered play therapist. So I often don't think that we question our existence and, you know, is this really what I'm meant to do forever? But I do often find that we question, how much impact are we actually having? What happens if a kid is yanked out after six sessions? what meaningful change did that really bring? If a child doesn't complete the entire course of treatment, was that really that helpful? If a parent just bails because we didn't effectively articulate why we're doing what we're doing, we put that on ourselves and we feel like that was somehow a failure. But I think about the ripple effect. And I think about how every single time a child walks into our child-centered playroom, that is a gift. It is a special environment and a special relationship with special autonomy and freedom that they don't have anywhere else. And even if it's one visit, I've had kids that come for one visit and never come back. And that used to really crush me and break my heart. And I felt so bad for the child. And I felt like I had maybe done something that I shouldn't have, or I should have done something that I didn't, or whatever. And now all of a sudden I'm at this point in my career where I'm like, that child had that hour and that was a gift. There was calm, there was peace, there was stability, there was predictability, there was unconditional love, there was unconditional acceptance. There was this sense of you get to do whatever you choose to do. And whatever you need to do, it's what you're going to do in here. And so I think that often what we have to realize is, even if we don't get the outcomes that we were hoping for because of attrition or because of circumstances or whatever the scenario is, there are still things that that child will remember and take with them forever. They might have an absolutely chaotic, frantic, crazy life, but for however many hours they spent with you in a playroom, they got a respite from that. So don't lose sight of the difference that you're making and the ripple effect that that has. I heard the analogy that if you've lived in a shack your whole life, you don't realize that it's a shack until you see a mansion. And so I think about that a lot. And I think to myself, if a child has ever only known chaos, dysfunction, toxicity, craziness, instability, whatever the circumstances are in the child's world. And sometimes it's not even that severe. Sometimes it's they've only ever known yelling. They've only ever known spanking. They've only ever known conditional acceptance. They've only ever felt judged and criticized. So it doesn't even have to be on the extreme end. But if a child only has one perspective on the world, they don't know that that is not true for everyone until they are exposed to something different. So when they come into the playroom and they see the way that we look at them, the way we speak to them, the way we interact with them, the conversations that we have, the aura, the tone, all of it, it's awareness. And there's a ripple there because now I know that I'm living in a shack and mansions exist. So I think those are really helpful things to keep in mind, kind of as a side note to the actual question. Jonathan, I promise I'm getting back to your question. Okay, so now let's talk through playing the movie of how it's preventative in nature. So we know there are longitudinal gains. That's where we started. Now let's talk about if we're going to focus on the issue, which flies in the face of all things CCPT, right? Focus on the donut, not the hole. So if we're going to focus only on the problem, I use the analogy to parents, that's putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. Your child is aggressive. So if we were to address, I'm air quoting, address the aggression, because that's nonsense, but you know what I mean. So we're going to do a worksheet about deep breathing, or we're going to do a mindfulness CBT exercise with a 7-year-old, or we're going to talk about how anger is a monster that lives inside, whatever. Oh my gosh, I can't even conceive of what you would do directly with a child. I'm struggling here, y'all. But you're going to put a quote Band-Aid on a gaping wound. We're going to address this one moment in time, single scenario of aggression. When the child is aggressive at 7, they're going to have a different manifestation of behavior with the same root cause at 9. But we might have quote addressed the aggression at 7, but it was a Band-Aid. The gaping wound was never healed. And therefore, there's going to be a new iteration of that later on down the road. So there is no quick fix. And the beauty of CCPT is that it develops an internal locus of control. So I'm taking ownership and responsibility for my well-being. I am addressing the things that I need to work on. Does aggression eventually get addressed when a child goes through CCPT? Yes, but aggression wasn't the problem. It was a likely lack of emotional vocabulary. It was likely lack of emotional IQ. It was likely lack of self-control and self-regulation. So there are all of these root causes that show up as aggression. So if all we ever do is address the aggression, whatever gets addressed at the lower levels and the cause and the root, it doesn't. So internal locus of control says, I'm taking ownership and responsibility for my actions, for my decisions, for my behaviors, for my choices. And I know that there are outcomes associated with those issues. So that's a huge step right there, because if someone in a child's life, quote, addresses the problem with them, that person is responsible for the change. That doesn't come from within the child, it comes from without. But an internal locus of control is where self-actualization begins, because it's, I want to be a better version of myself. I want to not be aggressive. I want to be kind and obedient. I want to be regulated. Remember, no child, actually no human, but specifically no child stays stuck in maladaptive coping or maladaptive patterns of behavior. No one wants to stay in a dysregulated state. So when we understand that, we're able to see internal locus of control creates change. That is the catalyst. And then how do we present this? So Jonathan, you asked playing the movie. Well, let's start with the easiest, which is the four universal outcomes. We know that regardless of the reason why the child begins the therapeutic process, regardless of their presenting issues, regardless of the root causes, they're going to gain four universal outcomes. If you all don't know what they are by this point, I'll pop quiz you. Then you'll be forced to think about them. Okay, what are your four universal outcomes? I'm sure you're screaming them at me. So we have increased regulation. We have increased self-esteem. We have increased worldview. And we have increased emotional vocabulary. So think about that. If a child gains those four things, it sets them up for the rest of their lives. They understand their feelings. They can identify them and communicate them. They understand how to control themselves. They are more regulated across the board. They understand that what they choose to do at any given moment impacts other people. That's worldview. I can't do whatever I want and think that I can do that in isolation. There's greater impact there. And then finally, increase self-esteem. I feel better about myself. I trust myself. I know that I'm capable. I know that I'm competent. And I know that I can handle things. If every adult in the world had those four things and nothing else, we would be better for it. So just that is worth the CCPT process for kids long-term. And I want to end with this. We think about the circumstances in which a child happens to find him or herself. We have no control over those circumstances. We have no control over the situation. We have no control over the way they're parented, what they've gone through, what trauma they're exposed to, what goes on with their day-to-day existence. None of that is something over which we have control. So what we realize about the CCPT process is those things may never get better. I mean, ideally, we would love to think that they do, right? Parents get it. They make changes. They get on board. They get over their addictions. They stop the abuse cycle. They go to therapy themselves, whatever. I mean, there's ideal world, right? Where things do get better at a familial level. But we can't guarantee that, and we can't bank on that. So we know that circumstances may not change for a child. But what CCPT does is it equips them to handle those circumstances more appropriately and more effectively. Because if you think about the four universal outcomes, you think about an internal locus of control, and you think about long-term healing, every time the child faces something that they've faced their whole lives that has unnerved them, upended them, dysregulated them, ripped the rug out from underneath them, and spun them on the top of their head. Guess what? Once they've been through CCPT, they have more resilience. They have more coping. They problem solve more effectively. They trust themselves to handle situations. And it moves from, oh no, I can't handle this. Oh no, this is terrible. Oh no, I can't cope. To, I trust myself to deal with this. It's going to be okay. And that changes the entire trajectory of a child's life, even if the circumstances never change. The child being able to say, I can get myself through this. I can trust myself. I can handle this. I'll be okay. It'll work out. I'm capable. I'm equipped. I have coping. I have resilience. It'll be fine at the end of this. That sets them on a totally different path than this is my life forever, and it's always going to be miserable, and I'm always going to be at the mercy of my circumstances, and I'm always going to feel like a victim, and this is just my lot in life that I have to accept it. That's defeating. CCPT is encouraging. So I hope that answers your question, Jonathan, and I think this is something we all need to be mindful of. We have to be able to communicate the importance of this to parents and other stakeholders in a child's life. This does paint the picture of what CCPT does long-term. Because there are short-term benefits, of course, but I would argue this is why CCPT is the most helpful approach. Well, there's so many reasons why, but this is one of the reasons why CCPT is the most helpful approach, because it's not a temporary fix. Children literally will go the rest of their lives with these skills in their toolkit. And that sets them up for every kind of success that they want to pursue. All right. Thank you all for hanging out with me today. We are going to keep you posted as much as possible about the update with the storm. And it is supposed to hit tonight, Wednesday night late. So we will be as involved and engaged as we can be, depending on cell service and internet and power and all of those things. Thank you so much for all of you who have reached out. Really, we have been inundated with messages and emails and texts, and just thank you so much for your prayers, for your thoughts, for thinking of us, for knowing that we're dealing with this. You have absolutely become an extended family to me, but also to my family. My husband and son are very aware of all of you and your thoughts and prayers. So huge, huge thank you. Here's a big hug through the airwaves. Love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.